Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Download more sermons or learn about the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene at our website, capenazarene.org. Here's this week's message.
Good morning. My name's Steve. You probably already knew that, but just making sure before we start. Before we hear the message this morning, I'd like us to pray together real quick. Father, I pray that you would send your Spirit to be with us as we hear your word this morning. Move in us. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to hear from you and learn together what it means for us to be the body of your Son, Jesus, in your world. We love you and thank you. Amen. So I want to tell you guys a story. Steph and I served at a church as volunteers with a youth group when we were in college. And this church had an interesting problem. They were a church of about 40, mostly older people, and their pastor had a grandchild who had started coming to the church. They had a new pastor, and they told their new pastor that they wanted a vibrant, active youth group, and that that was a thing they would be all about. And so my friend, who was this pastor's grandson, started inviting all his friends to come to this new youth group that they were going to start. And all of a sudden, this church had about 40 kids from the wrong side of the tracks. Congregation is about 40. They've got about 40 kids all of a sudden showing up who have no idea how one behaves in church. They could have reacted better. There were some issues. And so we had this Saturday night youth group meeting. And about 10 of us from the college would come out and work with the youth group and then stay the night and go to church in the morning, then drive back. This was a really fun and formative time in my life. I loved working with those kids, and the team that we developed, a lot of those people are still close friends of mine. But we encountered problems there that I had never encountered before. The one that sticks out the most to me is a girl who I'm going to call Susan for the purposes of this sermon. It's not her name. She would come up to me or one of the other volunteers every week and let us know whether she had cut herself, because she did that. Some of you may not have heard, but it's a way that some people that are dealing with serious psychological issues sometimes deal with those things. It's self-harm. It's a serious problem among teenagers especially, although not only teenagers. And the things that this girl encountered in her life and the stories that she heard about herself had broken her down in such a way that this was the only way she knew to cope. And it had been a very long time since she'd done this. In fact, I don't know that she had ever told me when she actually had. I think it was mostly I didn't. Until this one week. And a few of us that knew what was going on got together and talked about what had happened and, you know, prayed about it. And then one of us preached. Ask me which one of us preached. I don't know. It was not a memorable message. It might have been me. I mean, I don't know. whoever preached, this girl apparently heard from God. And during our altar call, she came forward and prayed, and we're like, and we're all watching, saying, okay, cool. We did the job here today, guys. Cool. Quietly. Shh. Say that out loud. But we knew we had done the job. Because people come to the altar, you did the job, right? That's how you know if you've done the job right. Maybe. Let me tell you a different story. There were these two disciples walking away from Jerusalem. Cleopas and another one. There are, if you're interested, you can read commentaries. Oceans of ink have been spilled on who was this other person. I don't have a strong opinion. I have a favorite, though, so I'm going to roll with it. This is Mrs. Cleopas. I think the story makes more sense this way. And so Cleopas and Mrs. Cleopas are walking home from Jerusalem after Passover. They got about 7 miles to go. Emmaus is a bit of a walk. And as they're walking, they meet a fellow traveler. And they start walking together. And they're sad because Cleopas and Mrs. Cleopas have been followers of Jesus, who has just died. And this fellow traveler, being a nice guy, says, hey, what are you guys so sad about? And our two disciples respond, don't you watch the news, dude? Are you not paying all attention to what's been happening in Jerusalem? Where have you been? There was this guy named Jesus. He was a great teacher. We thought, sure, he was the Messiah. We thought, sure, this guy was going to be the one to kick the Romans out. Because that's what a Messiah does, right? Messiahs kick out the oppressors. That's their job. But we must have been wrong, because here's one thing in the job description of messiahs that they don't do. They do not get murdered by Romans. That's not a thing. So whatever we thought, we were wrong. And now we're going home. And I said he was a nice guy, didn't I, our fellow traveler? Let me revise that statement. Maybe not so much, because he responds, man, you guys are slow, huh? That's not a nice thing to say. You guys must not have ever read anything Moses wrote, huh? Don't say things like that. And they're like, what are you talking about, man? Come on. And as they're walking down the road for 7 miles, this fellow traveler explains to these people who have been crushed by the weight of what they have encountered in Jerusalem how it was obvious to anyone who's ever read Deuteronomy that this was the way that was going to go. I'm not so sure it was that obvious, but okay. And they're starting to feel a little better about what's happened as they walk down the road. And they get home, and they're like, man, we can't let this guy go. We got to keep talking to this guy. And we just walked 7 miles. He's going to keep going. Where does he live? Man. Now, in the ancient world, in almost all ancient cultures, hospitality was the thing, like the most important thing. If you are inhospitable to a guest or you don't invite a traveler in, you've done something horrible. The Old Testament bears this out, but I mean, the Jewish tradition is not the only one that says hospitality is super important. And so these good Jewish followers of Jesus invite their traveling companion into their house. Man, that was good of them, wasn't it? Man, they did their job. They did the thing that they were supposed to do. There's this guy who looks dusty and gross from the road, who clearly hasn't been paying attention to what's happening in Jerusalem, and they invite that guy into their house. Man, Cleopas and Mrs. Cleopas are great disciples. They are so good. The end, right? Wait, that wasn't the end of the story? Oh, I have to do more? Okay, wait. See if I remember how the rest of this goes. Then this rude guy does something. Okay, here's a thing not to do. Generally speaking, if you go to someone's house for dinner, you do not then raid their refrigerator, make them dinner, and act as if you are the host at the table. Not actually what you're supposed to do. Someone should have told Claire last night. we had dinner with Lynn and Stuart, and Claire sat down at the table and immediately prayed, because that's what you do. So Jesus, I gave away the twist. Jesus comes to the table and takes their food, blesses it, breaks it, and offers it to them. And suddenly their eyes are opened. Suddenly they see things in a way that they had not seen them before. Something that is true about God that has been in front of their face these 7 miles is revealed in a completely new way in the face of this strange traveling companion. I've heard of an unexpected guest. This is an unexpected host. Shows up at your house, says, "Hey guys, here's what we're having, here you go." That's Jesus. We come thinking that we are the ones doing the helpful thing, and God just has a way of twisting it. So, this church that we served at, a weird thing happened. And we volunteers encountered God in a way that we had not expected. Girl who's having some trouble goes to the altar. Awesome, we did our job. We did the thing. That's it. And then other kids start filtering up. Okay, this is not unusual still. And then she turns. And tells all of her friends gathered around the altar what has been going on in her life. Well, we didn't see that coming. And I don't know if you've ever been in a similar situation. This is the kind of thing that makes pastors and people training to be pastors nervous. This could go wrong. But not today. Today, the other kids responded saying, "Hey, here's what's happening with me. Here's the way I'm hurting." And they were a group of hurting kids. And there were issues more serious than any I had ever yet had to deal with. But in that room, these broken kids came together as the body of Christ in a way that I had not yet seen. They showed me what Jesus looks like. The way they came together around the wounded members of the community. The way they shared their brokenness. The way they were reformed as the broken body of Christ. I thought I was there to teach them something. And maybe I did. I don't remember. It must not have been that important. But I learned something so valuable that day. And here's the thing that I have for you guys, okay? When we go out to the world, we are sent out as the body of Christ to serve. And it's so easy. It's the easiest thing in the world to go out thinking, all right, I'm going to help some people. I'm going to go out and do the thing, whatever the thing is. I'm going to go, and after their encounter with me, their life's going to be better because I'm doing my job and I did it right. And that's true. But something else is true. Some of the early church fathers had an interesting take on a particular rule of Jesus. You guys have read in the Bible where Jesus says, hey, if you've got an extra coat, give that to someone who doesn't have a coat, right? Okay, so that's a good rule. The early church fathers took it a step further. Basil the Great and Gregory of Nazianzus, if you want to look them up, if you care. They said things like, if you have two coats, when you go to give away your second coat, not if, when you go to give away the second one, apologize to the person you are giving the coat to, because that's their coat. You've been holding on to it for them, and they were cold while you were holding on to their coat for them, so apologize. Wow. I don't know quite how to contextualize that rule, and it scares me a little, I'll be honest. But I will say this. The attitude behind that particular approach is important. When we go out to the world, remember that we have what we have only by the grace of God. And that the people that we go to serve are the presence of Jesus to us. They are that traveler. That one that we took in. That slightly rude, unexpected host who shows up at our table and offers us our own food. That is Jesus. And those are the people that we encounter and the people we are responsible to serve. So, people of God, as we prepare to come to the table, let us pray that God adjusts our attitude, flips around our perspective, and causes us to interact with those we serve with a sense of gratitude. Because the opportunity to serve is a gift from God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast. We hope that the message has inspired you to draw closer to God each day. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God bless you as you serve him today.